I have to tell you, you big folks are not my jam. I've spent a lifetime with children, but grown-ups not so much. In fact, Pastor Gary will tell you, when we first met, we were on staff at Glad Tidings Church, and every Tuesday we had staff meeting, and Pastor Qualls decided that the staff should do staff devotions, and we would rotate, and there were about 8 of us, I think, on staff, something like that. So once every 8 weeks, we had to do a devotion, and honestly, the thought of it paralyzed me with fear, and that was only 7 grown-ups. I was like, and I tried it one time, and I failed miserably. I mean, I knew I wasn't any good at it. So I would call Pastor Gary, and I would say, could you trade with me today? And he was like, sure, I'll trade with you. He pretended he didn't know what I was up to, and then when his week came around, it was 4 weeks later, so he just went ahead and did devotions, you know, like I had never done that. And then when I came back 8 weeks later and said something else with some excuse, he accepted again. Little did I know that payday was coming today. Yeah, so when he asked me to do this, I was like, yeah, I have nothing. I've got to do this. So, but you know, my mom was the person that I used to go to when, you know, when I had stressful things and when I had questions about things of God and so forth. And God called her home, which is where she had spent her whole life kind of headed for. She knew this was a journey and heaven was where she was going. And so about a year ago around Christmas time, God called her home, and I felt this like emptiness because she had always been that one that I went to. Now, my dad was a godly man too. He passed away about 12 years earlier, but she was the one that I went to, and I thought, I'm going to feel lost. Like, what do I do now? So I got on the phone with my son the other day. I have one boy. I'm a mom, couldn't be more proud of a child than I am of my boy. He's 43 now. But I got on the phone with him, and I was talking to him, and I said, you know, pray for me on Sunday because I got to do this grown-up service, and I feel like I have something from God, and I've studied, and I've prepared, but I don't know. It's just like the nerves. And what if I only have 5 minutes and then I go through everything and like that? And he said, Mama, let me tell you what I do. He said, after I have prepared and when I'm all ready and I've done everything that I can do, he said, I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me with this. He said, I need you to speak through me what it is that you want these people to hear, because anything that I have to say without your anointing on it isn't worth hearing. And he said, that's what you need to do, Mama. Well, it tied in so much with what we're doing today, because I had spent his whole life teaching him as a young generation, as a child, teaching him the things of God. And now, the older generation, my mom, had gone on. And there it was. He was ready. He was prepared. He was able to say to me what God wanted me to hear. And that, my friend, is why it is so important to teach the younger generation. And I could stop right there, but I won't, because I've got more to say. So but you know, my parents prepared me the same way. I was in church every Sunday of my life from the time I was born, unless I was sick, which wasn't very often. In fact, the first Sunday or after I had been in church, when I turned 13, my dad had a little small home missions church, we called it then, and there wasn't anybody to teach the preschoolers, and that's when I taught my first class. I was 13 years old, and I knew what a class consists of. To have a good Sunday school class for children, you had to have 4 things. The first thing you had to have was a worship song. Just that, just kind of like big church, you had a worship song. And so that was an essential component there, and there were 4 of them. The worship song kind of went like this. And you might know this, and if you do, you can sing with me, but we're not going to do the whole thing because it gets kind of really long and drawn out for grown-ups. But it was, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham had many sons. Oh, yeah. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, Father Abraham. Okay, you get this. And I hate to stop that because we have such enthusiasm up here. I am telling you, I feel at home right now. I feel at home. But it was so, that was one thing you had to have. And then the next thing you had to have, you had a Bible story and prayer. That was an essential component of it. So, and being exposed to church for my whole life and taught as a young child, that was easy. I mean, I knew the top 25 Bible stories just like that, all the details and everything. So that was good to do. And the next thing we had was a craft. And that was just some sort of handwork or something that you did, the child did, to kind of tie the lesson and make it come, you know, kind of real, put it in spectrum. And the last thing was
goldfish.
Yes! Goldfish. Every church has to have goldfish. I don't know. It's like that is the anointed bread of the church for children. It's the goldfish. So you had to have the goldfish. Now, had I not been taught as a child, as a young child, I would not have been able to do this. I remember a couple of Sundays ago, I was teaching at in the kids' church at Heritage, where I am on staff, and I have a little girl. She's a middle schooler, upper middle schooler, and she helps me. She's precious. God is all over that child. She's been with me for a while, but she said, I said to her, I said, honey, now, I know you have your own class, because she comes in, do you need me this morning? And I'm like, honey, I always need you. Children's ministry, that is not a question to ask at children's ministry. The answer is always yes. You know, no is not an answer. So I said, but I tell you what, if ever you feel like you need to go to your class, you need to do that. Feel free to go, because you need to hear what's going on too. And so a taught service, she helped me out. And at the end, she came up and she said, PJ, that's what they call me. She said, PJ, she said, I actually learn more here than I do in my class. She said, you see, when I was a little girl, I didn't go to church. So she said, the things that you teach here, I didn't ever learn them. And sometimes when I'm in my class, it's kind of a little bit over my head. So it's important, very important, that we teach the younger children. This feels a little awkward doing this in front of y'all, but it's either that or that kind of thing, so we won't do that. So let me tell you what, this is kind of a joy for me because my objective today is not to try to guilt you into serving in children's ministry, or to share with you how desperate we are for a 98.6 or whatever body to go back and help, or anything like that. It's not about that. This is about today, it's about helping you become aware that the church needs to think generationally. You need to think about, you need to be aware that little kids are not just babies and little things that you just push to the side and let them go be safe while you come in and worship. It's you start teaching them from the time they're very young, all of these things of God. So I'll tell you what I'm going to get you to do. I want you to just stand with me. Everybody just stand to your feet. And now we're just going to get you to sit back down. Go ahead and sit back down. That'll be fine. You see, if this were kids' church, the more I did that, the more fun it would be. You would just love it. It would be like, yes. And that's what I love about kids. They find fun in just the simplest things. It's just so cool. You know, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. And if you do it really fast, oh, that's really good too. You know, you just love that. And, you know, I don't know. I'm so blessed that God called me to children's ministry, I guess. It's just, I love these things. I love that they find fun in the simplest things. The other thing I love is that they volunteer, like, and they don't even know what they're volunteering for. I could get up there and I would say, I'm going to need a helper today. And if I had 29 children, 27 of them guaranteed would throw their hand in there. And they wouldn't just kind of put their hand up. They'd be like, they're doing the potty dance. Oh, me, just pick me. And you know, I could say, oh, okay, come on up, honey. I'm going to get you to eat some dirt today. Yeah, BJ, I can do that. I can do that. They just do. So they volunteer so easily. They're just so willing to help, to serve, to do whatever. The other thing that I enjoy about the work that I do and being called to children's ministry is that kind of bold honesty, you know, that they greet you with. It's kind of refreshing. Sometimes it can be a little bit, you know, hurtful maybe. I don't know. Take it personal. I remember when I was on staff at Christ Church in Nashville, had this little boy, he was almost four, a little blonde, curly-headed kid, and he was precious, and he was in love with me. He just was. And every time he saw me at church, he'd come barreling across the atrium to give me a hug. And one time, I wasn't quite prepared, because typically I stoop down when kids come, and he grabbed me around the legs, and the atrium was full of people, and that is a big church. Grabbed me around the legs, and he was so short, he didn't get in here. He got me right here. And I went down, my stilettos and my little black dress, we were down on the floor. He just knocked me over. He was so glad to see me, but later on, I had to go and get some highlights put in my hair. Now, I haven't always been a light, light blonde, but pretty much always a blonde. So I went to the salon, and I had to find a new girl, and you girls know that's a pain. I mean, it is a pain. You got to try to describe how you want it, and then it doesn't quite work, and this, that, and the other. Well, anyway, I thought I had been very good about communicating exactly what I wanted to look like when I came out. And, yeah, not so much. Somehow, she got the idea that I wanted to be a dark brunette. Yes, yeah, she did. So I came out of there, and I was like, it costs too much to change it. So I got to go with it. I don't know what to do. So that next Sunday at church, I was in there, and I was standing in the atrium, and this little boy come barreling towards me, and he stopped in his tracks. And he looked up at me, and he said, you made your hair brown. It's supposed to be Lolo. I said, yeah, baby. It'll be Lolo again soon, as soon as I get the money put back together to get that. So I thought today what we should do is maybe start out with, let's find out how God feels about children. The Bible talks about how he really feels about children. How does he feel about children? He tells us in the book of Psalms, verse 127, chapter 127, verse 3, he says that children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord, a blessing and a gift. I think they're pretty high up there on his list, that he pretty much loves them. Another verse in Mark 9:37 says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me, not me, but him who sent me. He identifies himself with children. He said, whoever receives a child doesn't just receive me. He receives the one who sent me, my Father. There's a connection there that just goes so deep, so, so deep. I think it's clear that the that youngest generation really matters to God. He gets a little bit deeper with this in the book of Matthew. And Matthew 18, 3 through 6, and this is what it says, and pay close attention to this. This is very important. He says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to pause there for just a minute. What do you know about receiving heaven, turning and becoming like a child? Because he says you're going to need to know that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have to know how to turn and become like a child, humble like a child. And then he goes on to say, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. So let me just kind of give you a little backstory with what's happening here. So the disciples, you know, kind of we grown people, we like to be the teacher's pet. You know, I mean, there's just something in us. We want to be the best. We want to be, like, think we're all that important and, you know, we can't be done without and so forth. And so the disciples were going back and forth and they're like, yeah, I think he likes me best. I think my job is most important. No, mine's most important. And so they get to Jesus and they're actually bold enough to say, who is the most important? Can you imagine? I'm like really being a grown-up and going to the boss and saying, hey, boss, can you tell us, we were just having this conversation and we want to know, who is the most important here? And Jesus called a child to him and he said, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in heaven. And he goes on, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it is better for him, listen carefully, to have a millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Think about it. Our actions, whoever believes in me and who causes one of the little ones who believes in me to sin, it is better for him to have a millstone fastened to his neck and he be cast into the sea. I think that that makes it very clear that children, this youngest generation, are a top priority to God. They have his heart. I'm going to move to another section now that I have in my notes here, and this is kind of like my favorite part. This one is what I'm really excited about, and it's in the book of Numbers. I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory, and I'm calling this, say what? Just for fun, because I think that this is going to be the response of kind of these folks in here. Numbers 14, 26 through 31. Now, what's happening here? So this is about the children of Israel, and they've just been delivered from bondage. Now, think about what God has done for them. Think about it. God has delivered them from slavery. They've been in the wilderness, and he has fed them. He has led them. He has provided every need that they have. They came to this obstacle, the Red Sea, and he parted the waters for them to go through. Now, honestly, I can't imagine anybody living through that and seeing that, experiencing it, and saying and whining and complaining and moaning and griping. I don't know. But then you know what? Some days I re-examine myself, and I find myself doing that. So it's not, sometimes it's not like this obvious, blatant sort of griping and complaining. It's like the little things, you know, like it's too hot in here, it's too cold, or the seat's too hard, or it's too far to the front, or I don't know, just one little thing. But they were griping and complaining and griping and complaining. In fact, he said, 10 times they have put me to the test. 10 times. And he says, you know what? I'm kind of sick of their mess. It's just paraphrasing just a little bit. He says, you know, I'm just kind of sick of their mess. So let me read this. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation who complains against me? How long do I have to put up with this mess? You know, he says, I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. And you know what that was? They kept complaining that God had brought them there to let them die. Why didn't he just go ahead and let them die while they were in Egypt? So he says, God says, you know what? He's telling us to Moses there, and he says, you know what? I've heard it, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to say to them, as I live, I think I missed a slide there, talking. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken, so I will do to you. That makes you kind of want to be real careful what you say, isn't it? Because God is listening. And he says, this is what I'm going to do to you. And this is where Moses and Aaron say what? Yes, he says, let me catch up with my notes here. He says, the carcasses, I kind of like that word. That's kind of cool. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. Again, Moses and Aaron is going to say this to the people of Israel. And he says, except for Caleb and Joshua, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in. And this is again where Moses and Aaron says, say what? Because they have to deliver this news. In Numbers 14, he goes on, verse 31 says, but the little ones whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. And this is where Caleb and Joshua say, what? Because they have a different say what. And I tell you how I know that. So this was the very first children's pastor position that has become available. All right, it's the before then, probably not ever heard of, but now children's pastor is a position, and Caleb and Joshua are going to take it, and they're going to go with it. Now, and the reason I know this excited them, where Moses and Aaron wasn't so excited about their assignment, is because Caleb and Joshua had gone into the land of Canaan, and they came back, and they said, we got it. We can do this. It's great. It has milk and honey and this, that, and the other, and they were just so excited, and that's what children's pastors do. We do the craziest things, and we find excitement in positive things and things that other people will just, you're like, no, that can't happen. And so that's what Joshua and Caleb said. They were so happy about that, I think, that they were going to be the children's pastors, and they were going to take this children. But think about it. Everybody that knew anything about anything wasn't going. Pastor Gary? How would that make you feel? Now, I kind of think that you might kind of be excited a little bit about this, too, because you're a little on the crazy side. Yeah. But you're going to start Tapestry, and nobody over the age of 20 and older is going to have a part in this. Think about it. Now let me ask you this. How important do you think it is that we teach the younger generation? If you do not teach them when they're young, they will not be ready, and you cannot wait until they're 20, 25, 30 years old to decide to make them ready. They have to know when they're young. So we want to teach that younger generation. I want to go ahead and talk now, move to the book of Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 25, and this is how we teach them. The Bible tells us. He tells us what to do and how to teach. He says, to fix these words of mine in your heart and your minds, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Teach them. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Here's the thing. He's telling us that this isn't just something that we do when we come to church and teach the children. He's saying you have to live this. You have to walk this. Now, when I was teaching my son about the things of God, it wasn't just like a Sunday thing or just something I told him. I was responsible to walk it out. I had to show him what it meant to be steadfast in the things of God. I had to show him what it meant to trust God when we had a need. So it's not just a little one-time thing where you come and do. It's whenever you see children, your life should look like something from God. They should be able to see God in you. Listen carefully. This is what, so he says in Deuteronomy, so that your days and the days of your children will be many in the land the Lord swore to give you and your ancestors. We read that, the heavens above. And he says, if you carefully observe these commands I am giving you to follow. All right? Here's the condition, because with God's promises, he has a condition for you in order to get the promise. And this is what I teach the children. You can't just, the promise of God, yeah, but you, he says, if you do this, then this happens. It's like consequences for your choices. Same as in life, consequences for your choices. So he says, if you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, and these are his commandments, love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience, and to hold fast to him. I want you to say that with me. Love the Lord your God, walk in obedience, and hold fast to him. And he says, if you will do this, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Wow. That's quite the promise. And he goes on to say, every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. And that to me says, you're going to walk in victory and you're going to be able to overcome those two verses. You're going to be able to overcome things that are stronger and bigger than you. If you do these three things, if you love the Lord your God, you walk in obedience, and you hold fast to him. This is powerful stuff, that you can have things, victory over things that are bigger and stronger than you, and you will walk in victory as God has given you. So that's authority. The next thing he says, no one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised, will put terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. That's powerful too. For three little things, all we have to do is three things. We have to love the Lord. We have to walk in obedience and hold fast to him. And I think that the obedience thing we have a little struggle with, but I think holding fast to him, that's kind of a little bit of a challenge sometimes. The Bible teaches us that these are things that we have to have our children know. We have to teach our children these things. Isaiah 54:13 says, all of your children shall be taught by the Lord. And this is important. And great shall be the peace of your children. I've got to tell you, our children are not living in peace. This world, the kids in this world are filled with anxiety. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. Their world has been shaken with the pandemic. Their education system is a mess. It's just, they are not living in peace. And I have to say, the reason that they don't have peace partially is our fault, because we have not taught them. We have not taught them what they need to know to handle this. We have to teach our children the things of God, so that they will know when they have a need, God's going to provide for them. When they reach that Red Sea and they need that miracle, that obstacle comes, God's going to part the way and he's going to defeat their enemy. They have to know that. They have to know when they're walking in school and they feel alone, like there's nobody there and nobody understands them, they have to know that there is a God that says, I am with you always and I will never leave or forsake you. They have to know when they are faced with the impossible that God says, you can do all things through me. All things through me. We have to teach them that they have to do this, that God is faithful and God can handle anything that they come against. So why is it imperative that we teach the youngest generation? We're going to recap this. And the first thing is so that they will know the things of God and his faithfulness. That's pretty important. The second thing why we need to teach the youngest generation is so that their days will be many and they will be victorious over the enemy. The next thing we need to teach them, why it's imperative that we teach them, is so they will have peace. They need to live in peace. Our world will be so different when we are faithful to the call of God to teach our children. Now, you might say, you know, Pastor Joy, I agree with you. That's just great. Praise God. But I just feel a little awkward around kids. You know, they're just kind of like, I don't know, they make me uncomfortable. And maybe it's because I'm a children's pastor. Maybe it's just because I'm a big kid. I don't know. But I don't quite understand that, because we all were once kids. So everybody in here has experience at it. You know, it's not like we got here without being a child. Everybody was a child. So I think the problem is you just need to reflect back a little bit. You know, just remember when. Remember when. You weren't weird and strange. I mean, you acted a little crazy, but, you know, that's the way children are. So what we're going to do is I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to help you understand how to do this, how to teach the younger generation. And the first thing we're going to do is we are going to begin by showing them that they are loved, respected, and valued. Now, this is how you do that. When a child is talking to you, we tend as grown-ups to be, And what we're thinking is, okay, yeah, if you just, okay, that's fine. And we'll go, or give them something like this. They know you haven't really paid attention to what they're saying. They know that. What you need to do is really tune in and listen. Just listen to them. And then respond with something that tells them that you did actually hear what they had to say. You know, you let them know that, yeah, this. And you say, well, you know, sometimes they like mumble and they talk too fast, or I can't hear them. And you know what? They don't mind if you say, honey, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but what you're saying is really important to me. Would you mind saying that again? Would you just mind telling me? Because I really want to hear this. It's important to me what you have to say. So that's what we do. We show them that they're loved, they are valued, and we show them respect. The next thing we do is we make them a priority and not an afterthought. And sometimes this is intentional and sometimes it is not, but I have seen this too much in children's ministry, that children are an afterthought. You have no idea how many Sunday mornings I wake up and my phone goes crazy with people who say, I can't teach today. You know, I broke a fingernail and I haven't been able to get to the manicurist. Well, that's an exaggeration, but that's my kind of, you know, my little perspective there on some things sometimes. And we're like, okay, our main thought is, let's get the kids back here and keep them safe, find somebody to babysit them. When people talk about me just watching children, it pushes my button, I gotta say. It makes me a different woman. I was not called to babysit. I was not called to babysit. All right. Not that there's anything wrong with babysitting. That's good. That's a good calling to love on children, but that's not the same thing. But parents will come in and they're like, yep, let's get them back there because I need to be fed. Really? As big as you are, you still need to be fed? I mean, I know it's good, but seriously, are you the priority? No. I think we should take the children, and this should be their sanctuary. They should have, like, the best technology and the best music, the best band, the best worship team, and things should just be, like, awesome. And the kids will walk in, and these chairs are little chairs so that their legs don't dangle off, you know? And it says, I'm expecting you because you are important to me. Yeah. This is it. I'm not here. We'll greet them at the door. And most of the time, and understand that Tapestry is, I have shared with your pastor so much, and I understand your vision is different. And this lights my fire. I'm just saying, it is so exciting to have a pastor that has the vision, that shares a vision that I have for children's ministry and the priority for children. But we'll have, in your typical church, people will come in the door, they'll be having the little children, and we'll greet the mom, greet the dad, so glad to have you, and the little kid is just kind of there. I think that the first people to get greeted should be the child, you know? They should be the child. That's the first one. That we should make them a priority, not an afterthought. All these things say afterthought. If I had my way about it, it would just be so good. And then we could have the grown-ups just push them to the back and say, just go on in there. Just go on. You go back there. Yeah, I know that it might be a little chilly back there. And you know what? We don't have anybody yet to teach your class because your teacher isn't going to show up. But we're going to get somebody. Hey, can you come and teach this class for me? Because I know you've been to church for a while. Surely you can do it, you're a woman. You can teach there, You just go on in there. You should just kind of be motherly or what. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean this to be like, I'm serious about this. This is where my heart is. It's wrong to do that. Grown-ups wouldn't appreciate it. How would you like it if you came in and all the little seats in here were a little small and you had to come and sit down? Sit your big self down on this little chair? Well, it's kind of in reverse. The little kids, they sit in big chairs. They get hard plastic chairs and stuff like that. And I know there's reasons for plastic back in the back so you can sanitize for those little ones who have issues when it comes to toileting and so forth. But make them a priority. You get my point. Make them a priority. They are very, very important. And if they're that important to God that he says if you offend one of them and cause them to sin, it's better that you drown, that's something to take seriously. The next thing is to call them by their name. Everybody has a name, and everybody likes to be called by their name. I like to be called by mine. I have several. But any of them's okay. I was in... Some of them we don't call aloud. my husband has a sweet little name for me, and I just happened to hear it echo from the front bench because Pastor Gary, being such a dear friend, was privileged to get that information. But anyway, you call them by their name. I had the privilege of stepping back in a classroom to substitute. And by the way, Jeff, my hat is off to you teaching in the public school. Guys, you have no idea. And I even thought I did as a teacher. I'm a retired teacher with Virginia Beach Public Schools. I thought I had an idea. My friend called me for this past week. She said, can you come in? Her aunt had passed away and she needed to go and they needed someone to substitute. Now, this woman had 28 students, 22 of them being boys, in an inclusion class. And she has done this by herself until finally the powers that be decided they could hire somebody else and split the class. And I stepped in for her. And I knew that I was not called to return to the public school. I love to teach, though. I do love teaching. But what happened while I was in there? I was getting acquainted with the smart board and how to do different things with the technology. And one of the other teachers came in and was passing out some papers and kind of trying to help me. And she called one of the boys by name. And she said, so-and-so, here's your paper, honey. Come over here. And that child said, thank you so much for remembering my name. Just to call him by name. It's like she knew who he was. He was important enough for her to remember his name. Now, everybody can do that. And even if you have a problem recalling names, there are different ways that you can do to help remember kids. I used to say to my kids, it's like, because I always made it a point, I wouldn't know the names of the parents, but I could call the children after about maybe two meetings with them. And I would say after about the third time, I'd have some like tricky names maybe in my class. And I'd say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do because I hate that I keep messing up your name. Every time I call you the wrong name, I'm going to give you a quarter. That worked. They were excited. They were hoping I wouldn't remember their name. Okay? They're like, oh, yes, maybe she'll forget my name today. And I'm like, oh, God, please help me remember their name or I'm going to go broke. But it turns out, I think over the course of this very long time, I probably have only had to pay out about $1.50. It works. It does work. Their names are very important. Call them by their name. Find out who they are. If you don't know who mom and daddy is, it don't matter. It's not that important as long as you know who the little ones are.
Then you can ask the kids, hey, what's your mama's name? Can you tell me?
I noticed you have to have it with you. What's his name? I forgot his name. How to teach the younger generation. The next thing is, and this is something very, very important as well, and sometimes there are situations where you might have a struggle doing this, but get down on their level when you talk to them as much as possible. There's nothing worse than having to talk to somebody's kneecaps or belly button all the time. I mean, think about it. You're down here talking. This person's up here. You're talking right here. Get down on their knees, down here on their level. Let them know that you can look in their eyes, that you can see them. Eyes say so much. You know, you can look into a child's eyes and you can tell if they're anxious. You can tell if they're excited about something. Get out and talk to them. Respect them. Love them. I'm glad I was able to get back up on that one day. It's a little more challenging in heels. So get down. And the next thing, and the last thing, is to invite and encourage interaction. And don't force it. How many times have you seen some well-intended adult and they come up to this child and they're like, hey there, how are you today? And they poke at him and the child goes, well, that to me is a sign that, hey, you know, I'm probably not wanting to communicate right now. And they'll step back around and, what? Come on. And the child will move. Just annoy the fire out of the child. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Think of them as people. Would you want somebody to do that to you? I mean, really, they're just shorter people. They're just smaller people. They have a brain. They communicate. And some of them, I'm going to tell you, are thinking in their head when you behave like that, oh my gosh, that person's weird. And that's what they think. So respect them. Don't poke at them, and by all means, don't tease. Do you know the only one that enjoys the tease is the one that's doing the teasing? I don't think I've ever heard someone that is being teased say, oh, that was so much fun, he was teasing me. No. You'll hear the person teasing say, I was just having fun. Well, is that important that you were having fun? Probably not so much. In closing, develop a relationship with the children. Get to know them. Respect them. Let them know that they're important. And treat them with genuine love. They will know when it's for real. Pastor Gary, I'm going to invite you to come back up and close this out. Thank you. Okay. I love you, David.
You know, we're about communicating the love of God to people. And there is no more effective way to love people than caring for their children. There's just no more effective way to do that. And I'm so grateful that you took time, that Heritage let you take time to come and educate. I mean, I'm convicted. I'm fired up. Seriously, I mean, this has hit me at a very emotional level because, I mean, this is the future of the church. And our fourth value is stewardship. And this is a stewardship. This is a resource God has given us as a church. Even if you don't have children, this is part of your resource and your responsibility. So I want to do three things here. But before we conclude the service, first of all, I just want to ask if you would do something when service is done, and I'm afraid I'll forget. So two or three weeks ago, we had an artist here, Lisa Wright, and she was just amazing. And she said to me before the service, Gary, if you have graphic artists who are here, I would like to lay hands on them and pray a prayer of impartation for an impartation of anointing on what they do. And she did that and was so impactful, was so great. And I was thinking as you were talking that there may be people here who are either called to children's ministry or they're public school teachers, or maybe just parents who are feeling like they just don't have what they need. When service is over, could you be available over in this area? And Nick, when we break down, let's just go slow over here. Let's create some space. And if you need for Pastor Joy to just lay hands on you and pray impartation over you, and whether it's your ministry or as a parent or as a teacher or some other area where you work with children or something like that, would you be available to just pray for people and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? He might give you a word for them or whatever. So in that sense, I want to pray for three groups of people right now. As she was talking, the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. I was saying, God, okay, so practically speaking, what can we do? And one of the things the Lord put in my spirit is that if you want to care for children, love their mothers. And I feel like we have some moms here of small children, and once you get out of that phase, it's easy to forget, and of course, men never really understand all the resources that it demands to parent children that age. So, Billy Joe, would you be willing to come up here, and I'm going to ask you to pray. Would you be willing to pray, Miss Billy? Yeah, thank you very much. No, just kidding, you're going to come join me here. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And if you are a mother of children 12 or under, would you just come stand in front right here? And if you're a mom of children who are 12 or under, we've got some back there. If those moms want to come in, they can. No, not children yet. Just give me one second. Yeah. Miss Billy, you can come right up here if you can, if you will. So this is Billy Jo Birch, and she has served her time. She's a mom, a grandma, a great-grandma, and a great-grandma. And is this it? Are these all the moms of young children that we have here this morning? Okay, great. Then, Billy, I want you to lead us and tapestry. I'd like you to extend your hands to these moms who are giving all they have to give, and so often feeling like it just isn't enough. There just isn't enough of me. You know what that feels like. And I just want to pray the blessing of the Lord on these moms. Would you do that?
I will. Yeah. I will. Thank you, Lord, for making us who we are. We have everything for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great children, for our children in school, children as neighbors. Lord, you have given us the capacity because you live in us. So we have everything that is needed to give to them. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to impart who you are through these mothers, through the grandmothers, through the fathers. Lord, it's just not moms, it's dads. Yes. It's that community, that unity in that marriage and in that home that will be the change in these children's lives. Thank you, Lord, that you placed each of us where we are. Thank you for the experience of being a mom, for being a grandmother and a great-grandma. And Lord, for those of us who are in those positions, that we know how to pray, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, not to interfere, but yes, to be there as you have placed us, Lord, in wisdom and knowledge that you've given us. And I praise you and thank you for all that are here and for doing the work that you promised you would do in us when we look to you and believe in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Billy Joe, thank you so much. Moms, thank you so much. God bless you. All right, and I asked the children's ministry if they would bring the kids in. So if you would bring our children forward at this point, church, you just stay standing. We're going to bring all of our kids down here. And we're going to pray for our children this morning. Kids, come on in. Woo! Hey, hey. Come on, guys. Guys, we've been talking about becoming a church that knows how to love on and minister to kids. And so we just wanted you to come in so we could pray for you. And Miss Joy, I'm going to ask if you would pray for our children. Would you be willing to? So, church, if you just extend your hand over these precious resources of ours, we're going to pray for them in Jesus' name.
Okay. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for every one of these boys and girls that are here today. Thank you that they are here to learn of you, God. I pray, I come against everything that's in their home life, everything that's in their school life, everything that has them distracted, everything that has them anxious, Lord. Everything from the enemy, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I declare peace over every one of these children so that they can walk in peace. God, help us as we minister to them, Lord God. Open their minds and help them to be receptive of the things that you have to say, and then give them the courage and the boldness that they need, Lord, for all the decisions that they have to make during the day. God, I thank you so much for them, because they are a great and mighty resource, God. They are going to live for you, God. I claim that in the name of Jesus, that everyone that's here will never leave you, but God, that they will continually have their eyes on you, and they will continually have a heart that desires to get closer to you and follow after you.
Yes, Lord.
I claim it in the name of Jesus. Keep protection on them, God. Protect their ears from hearing things that they don't need to hear. Protect their eyes, God, from seeing things that they don't need to see. Protect them at home, God. Let their homes be filled with love. Unite their parents, Lord, with a love that's your love that draws them strong together, so that their home will be filled with peace and their environment will just be so, so calm and so helpful to them. In the name of Jesus, I claim these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then lastly, before we close out, I asked Miss Amanda if she would pick a couple of our kids who would be willing to pray for us as a church, that we would get a vision for thinking and ministering generationally. And I think she picked Brianna and Judah. So Bree, you want to come up here? Bree, you want to come up here, sweetheart? Judah, you want to come up here? And guys, they're just going to pray for us. Bree, would you pray for us?
Lord God, thank you for everything you do for us. And please bless everyone with your mighty. And please keep them learning of God. In your name, amen. Amen.
Judah, would you pray for us, please?
Please help all these grown-ups in this room right now to lead the children around this world into faith, into peace, and into faithfulness. And love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So boys and girls, we're going to ask you to go back out this side door, and then parents, you'll do the normal pickup like you ordinarily would do. All right? Thanks, guys. And thanks those of you who are working with kids. And I want to thank you, Tapestry, because it's funny, you know, from the very beginning, and we were talking to Pastor Joy, you know, long before we ever started meeting as a church, asking her for input on how we ought to structure this and how we ought to do it. She's been an incredible resource for us. And I'll tell you something, you know, she said, the things I'm going to convey to you, I've never seen implemented in church before. And the one thing that I have universally been told is that children's ministry is going to be a struggle. You never have enough workers. And so we were just committed from the very beginning that this was not going to be an onerous thing where we had to twist arms and we were going to be up here begging people, you know, that we were going to try to create a culture. And we're not there yet, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to stop until there's a waiting list of people who want to work with children, because it's such a gratifying place to be. We're going to make serving children's ministry the most gratifying place to serve in church. We're committed to doing that. But just the few things that we've implemented together, I'm happy to tell you, we never have a problem getting people to serve. We have no problem. So I'm just delighted to be able to tell you there's nothing about this message that is intended to try to twist your arm to work in children's ministry. We're fine. We're covered. So praise God for that. Just before we dismiss, I'm sorry.
Can I interrupt you? Because I have one more thing for being in here about people there. So we have qualifications to serve back in children's ministry. And one of them is you have to love children and want to be there. So if you don't really have a heart for it and you don't want to be there, don't take this personal, but we don't want you.
But that said, the purpose of this whole series is that we would all have a heart for it. You know how it goes. It's like people with kids say, I have my kids 7 days a week. I need a day off. People who don't have kids say, they're not my kids. What I should... But what we want is that we all develop a heart for ministering to children. You know, just last week, you know, in the loss of my mom and stuff, we got the most beautiful text message from some ladies here in the church who said, hey, you guys could probably use a night away. Let us come take care of your kids. That's so easy to do. It's so easy to do, to love on these moms, you know, to just say, hey, let us just come care for your kid. Yeah, I can't be your regular babysitter. Let me come take care of them. And then while they're out, do the dishes and run the vacuum. What a blessing. That we would all develop a heart for ministering to kids because they are our most valuable resource. So just before we dismiss, would you join me one last time in thanking Pastor Joy for being here? So appreciate the Lord this morning. What a blessing. Amen. So, if you have a heart for children, you want some specialized individual ministry, please see Pastor Joy. If you need any other kind of ministry, Jennifer and I will be available at the front, or any of our elders will be happy to pray with you. Thanks for being here. God bless you. We'll see you on Tuesday night.